Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God, and they became guilty sinners. And when they sinned, they defied the authority of God. And because Adam is the head of the race, when he sinned, we sinned. And when he defied the authority of God, we defied the authority of God. All of this was charged to our account. And when we become Christians, we are brought back into fellowship with God. Adam led us away from God. Jesus Christ has led us back to God. Our sins are forever forgiven in Christ. We take our rightful place under the authority, under the dominion of God. And all of this is accomplished for us, of course, by Jesus Christ, both his work upon the cross and also his continuing work in our hearts. But we live the Christian life by putting our lives in order under the authority of God. Say that again. We live the Christian life by putting our lives in order under the authority of God. And the word, the biblical word that means putting your life in order under the authority, and here in reference to God, is the word submission. It's a great word. And submission is a key word with reference to the Christian life. It's one of the ways that we demonstrate and live out our faith in God. We put our lives in an orderly fashion under his authority. I like to say we line up into him, but it's more than just lining up under God's authority. But here's the God who loves us. Here's the God who has authority over us. And our lives are to be in union with him, in agreement with him, according to him. And so as we live the Christian life, we are challenged, and it is a lifelong challenge, to order our lives under him. We obey his word. We depend upon his power. We organize our lives so to flourish spiritually. And we discipline ourselves to remain under his direction and under the leading of the Lord. What he says, we believe. What he commands, we obey. What he reveals, we cherish. We live our lives in submission to God. And what is really amazing is God directs us to exercise submission in many other different directions, all related to him, but in many different directions. Christians are to submit themselves to the governing authorities. Christian slaves are to submit to their masters. Christian wives are to submit to their husbands. Christian young men are to submit to the elders. Christians are to submit to one another. Every Christian must know the way of submission. We're all in submission to God. We're all to submit to one another. But God has also established authorities, and all the authorities that I mentioned are established by him. Although the slavery is a perversion of authority. But even in slavery, and we'll get to that in our study of 1 Peter, even in that, and Roman slavery was awful, but even in Roman slavery, you would think that God would say overthrow. That's what I would think it should say. Anytime someone owns someone else, it's wrong. But God says, make sure that whatever you find yourself, even in very bad situations, even in the face of persecution which these Christians were facing, that you find yourself ordering yourself ultimately under God and under his authority. That's so true and so necessary in our lives. These additional responsibilities that sometimes we don't even understand completely are a great challenge. But always remember that they fall under the authority of God, and God is the one who says, you're living, the Bible doesn't say this, but we're living in a crazy, mixed up world. But God says, wherever you find yourself, show yourself to be the Christian that you are. Show yourself to be the Christian that you are. Show yourself that your submission to God means more than anything else. That's an amazing, this is an amazing challenge. I don't want to read this and just say, oh, this is easy for us to do. This is an easy matter. Lining up and arranging your life under God's authority, I'll tell you when that's going to be easy. It's going to be easy when you're in heaven. It's going to be easy when you're in the kingdom of God forever, new heavens and new earth. Then you'll perfectly match up with God. In fact, the scriptures say you will not even be able to sin. You will not have in your nature the capacity to sin. That's truly amazing. Then you will know what submission, the beauty and the wonder of submission, because you'll be submitting to this perfect God. But this perfect God tells us, okay, now you're a Christian in this crazy, mixed up world where things are often really wrong, but make sure that what comes out of you in whatever situation you are is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I find I can't even say that without being stunned about the words coming out of my mouth. But the primary influences in this life don't control who we are. What controls who we are is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the primary influence. What's interesting is we have a great example. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's truly amazing about him is that he submitted himself. He was submissive to God the Father. He was submissive to earthly parents. If ever there was a son, by the way, there's lots of sons like this, but if ever there was a son who could truly say when he is being taught or disciplined, could look at his parents and say, I know more than you know. And I'm a whole lot smarter than you. In fact, I know everything, and you really know nothing. It would be Jesus Christ speaking to his parents. Now, perhaps you've had a son or a daughter or something that kind of made that same kind of claim, but that's a whole different matter. That's something else going on in that regard. But here, Jesus Christ submitted himself. He organized his life, and we're going to talk about this word. It's under to orderly organize yourself under his parents, earthly parents, fallen parents. Amazing. And Jesus Christ was submitted also to the vast eternal plan of being Savior and also of being King. And God promises that he's going to take everything and he's going to submit it under the authority of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ is going to take all that has been submitted under his authority and submit that to God. Submission is, and I'm using the biblical words to describe what it is that God is doing in our world. Those are, I'll show you in the text of Scripture where it says those things. So I know submission is most important to God, and therefore he says it must be what you learn in this fallen, broken world, because Jesus did. Jesus submitted to the authorities, he submitted to the governing authorities, even in his crucifixion. Again, Jesus Christ could have said to the governing authorities when they said, you're going to be crucified, he could say, I am the God who holds you together as you take my life. As you take me and you kill me, I'm the one that holds every cell in your body together. Because I'm the creator of this universe and I hold all things together. So you're being held together And he could just say to those who were going to crucify him, fall apart, they'd all fall apart into pieces. He submitted to the governing authorities that took his life. That's amazing. But he was being submissive to God, so he submitted to those who sought his harm. And sometimes the governing authorities are not good authorities. I think we in our country can be thankful for our government. We can be thankful for our governing authorities. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but we can be thankful because in some places they have absolutely terrible authorities that seek the harm and they hurt the people that they rule over. But God says, I want Christ to shine through your life. In the difficulties, in the problems, and when you talk about submission in this world, it's complicated. It is complicated. We'll talk about some of that in a moment, but ultimately we are absolutely under God's rule first and then under those that God has appointed as rulers and that God has put in place. And God is the one who not only established the creation of this world, but he also put things in authority. It's all God's design. And we feel like saying, well, God, we'd like to submit to your perfect design, but the design of authority in this world has been so corrupted in so many ways, it's very difficult for us. And God says, I want you to be submissive. I want you to learn submission. It's most important. Because when you come back to God, you submit, you design your life under him and under his authority. It's great truth. And so they were to submit to earthly authorities, and we are to submit to earthly authorities, knowing that one day all authority will be brought under God. And we must submit in many different ways with the hope and the expectation of being completely submitted to God in our lives forever. But I want you to look at this passage, and I'm going to talk a little bit about submission, which I've already talked about, but I want to really explain this word submission. And if you note, it's already, there's some confusing things, not confusing things in terms of who we are. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, in God talking about you being stones that are being built together upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and you are a building being constructed into a building to offer spiritual sacrifice to God. It's a wonderful thing. And then he identifies and he gives us titles that really are titles that are really referring to Old Testament Israel. And God says, now you are the people of God. Notice the reading, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So I like those titles. Those titles indicate that we are full partakers of new covenant blessings. Full partakers of all of the covenants. Full partakers of all of the covenant blessings, because he brings us into the covenant blessings. How do we get in? We got in through Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. We are in the blessings. And God says you are full partakers of all of those new covenant blessings. And therefore, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. You have obtained mercy. You are the people of God. I say, that's truly amazing. And then you continue to read, and he starts calling us something else. I don't really like what we're called something else, but we're called sojourners and pilgrims, strangers. We're really foreigners in this world. I say, well, what happened to all those glorious titles that we've been giving? I say, well, they're still there. Know who you are. But also, as you live in this world, we're strangers here. We don't really belong here. We're citizens of heaven, and we're citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are citizens of the new heavens and new earth. That's where we're headed. So always know who you are, but it says now you are living as sojourners, someone who is really a citizen somewhere else and you're living here temporarily. Sojourners, pilgrims. And he says, have your conduct honorable. So you say, well, how do we have our conduct honorable? And that's when he launches into verse 13, where we're looking at. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings, to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The word for submission, because this is a command that you are given, and it's a command that says, make sure you make this happen. This is not a command that you are continually to be doing. This is like, make sure this is what has happened to you. It's a very strong command. Put this in effect. Make it happen. But the word means, it's really two Greek words that are pushed together. Well, the first word is the word under. So this has something to do with under. The second word means to place in order or to put in an orderly fashion. So you are to under, put into an orderly fashion. And I thought of ways to illustrate this. And perhaps one of the ways to illustrate this is not really a great illustration, but one of the ways to illustrate it is when you move. Moving is not one of my favorite things to do. I don't even like thinking about it. But when you move from one house to another house, you move from under the roof of this house, under the authority of this house, so to speak, and you move to a new house, and you take all of your belongings and you place them in an orderly fashion under this authority, under this roof. So you put things in place, you order it so that it will fit in a proper manner in this place. And you don't say, well, and over here we did this different. You say, no, this is where we are now, and this is where things have to go in this place. It may be a little different than where they were here, but you were trying to be putting things under in an orderly fashion here. Now you're putting things under in an orderly fashion here. If you take that and you say, okay, here's a picture of the non-Christian. Non-Christian tries to live an orderly life. It's all over the place, but it's an orderly life. They try various ways of doing things. When you become a Christian, then you truly have an orderly life because you have God who is our authority. And then God has authorities that he has established. And he says you are to organize your life in an orderly fashion under these authorities. For me, I wish that it just said there was only one kind of submission, and that is submit yourselves to God. Because I would say that's not easy, but it is clear. And you have a perfect authority. God never seeks your harm. He never desires to hurt you for the sake of hurting you. He is the God who seeks and is pursuing your holiness and your sanctification and your glorification. He seeks your perfection. He is moving you in to be more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what God is doing. And it says, okay, I want you to order your life under him, which we're called to do. We are to submit to God. Then I say, oh, I understand that. That's great. But here you have ordering your life, submit yourself to every ordinance of men, to every human creation. There's a word that's stated there. It's to every human agency created or authorized by God. It's a very broad statement. And there are several passages that speak of this. One is in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, remind them, talking about the Christians, remind them to be subject to rulers. Subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. And then you have Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, which speaks about being under the authorities that are ordained by God. This is a very broad statement. Submit yourself, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. And then he specifies the king and the governors, but we'll speak of that in a moment. But I want you to notice something about this word submission, and we've already talked about it. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, it says that Jesus Christ, as the example, it says he came back home after he was in the temple, and they looked for him and couldn't find him, and they found him finally. And it says he went home with them to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. He continued in submission to them. The sovereign, almighty, all-knowing God submitted to human, frail parents. And he ordered his life under their authority. Amazing. And Jesus Christ continues to look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you this passage. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have, again, the big picture of what God does with reference to Jesus Christ and to submission. But notice in verses 25 through 28, it talks about the great victory that Jesus Christ is accomplishing, and it talks about him, Christ, making all alive and accomplishing great victory. And he says, in talking about putting all authority and power under him, and then in verse 25, it says this, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, submitted to him, then the Son himself will also submit to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The picture of this is what I mentioned before, is that all things are going to be put in submission under Jesus Christ. That's where our world is headed. All things are, I speak of it as, all things shall be brought to bear upon Jesus Christ. The righteous will be brought to bear upon Jesus Christ in righteousness. Guilty sinners will be brought to bear upon Jesus Christ before the judgment throne of God. But all things will be brought to bear upon Jesus Christ. And God is going to bring all things in an orderly fashion under Christ. That's amazing. What God intends to do. Then it says Jesus Christ is going to submit all of everything that has been put under his authority, under his authority. So again, this submission is a part of the plan and purpose of God. That's what God is doing in this world right now. You say, well, it doesn't look like all things are being put under submission. I said, come tonight, we'll talk about Revelation 19. You'll see some things being put under submission to him. But it's where things are headed, the Bible says. It clearly comes that all is placed under Jesus Christ, who then says to his Father, you have put all things under submission to me, in submission to me. Now I place all things in submission to you. Sounds kind of like it's amazing, but it's really correcting everything that fell in the Garden of Eden and has continued to fall in all of human experience. And Jesus Christ and God the Father are putting all things back under his dominion and under his authority. And we're a part of that process. And it's in that context that he says, you are to be submissive to governing authorities. Let me just give you one other example of this. Look at Romans chapter 8. And this is a negative example. Because here it's speaking about the natural man. And look at Romans 8, verses 5 through 8. And he's talking in context about the flesh and how the flesh is an influence. But he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now get this. For the carnally minded, the fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not submissive. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And the picture is of non-Christian lost sinners, and they say, here's the law of God. And they say, oh, I'm going to take my life, and I'm going to structure it under the law of God. And so that's really what happened in the Old Testament scriptures when God took the nation of Israel. He says, structure yourself under this law of God. And you read the Old Testament scriptures, and the answer to that is, we can't. No one did. In fact, the nation of Israel said, you are to structure yourself under the law, and if you do so, I will preserve you as a nation. If you don't, I will drive you into captivity. I will drive you away. Well, they were driven away. Why? Because they wanted to organize and structure themselves. They wanted to come under God, and they wanted to order and design their lives, but they couldn't. And the problem is not the law. The problem is their flesh. This was a standard that the flesh could not meet, and every time they tried to meet the standard, they were falling short of it. Which is exactly the point of the law, to show the need of Christ. For him to perfectly measure up, for him to secure what is needful for us. But the point of this was to be the nation of Israel was to submit to the law of God, to go under, place themselves under God's authority, and to structure themselves, to order themselves in a manner, in an orderly fashion under the law, which could not be done. And that's what it says here in this passage. It can't be done. So then what God is going to do is he's going to take things and he's going to put them under Jesus Christ. And then Christ is going to give that to the Father. That's where things are headed. Now, let me look at one other thing. Turn back to 2 Peter. I want to just give you some references. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, it's the verse we looked at. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 18, and I just want to emphasize this for you. But in 2 verse 18, it says, oops, I'm in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. We'll get there in that passage. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. But it's submissive. That whole submissive thing is repeated. I want to give you the passages because I want you to know that from this point onward, Peter has a lot to say about submission. So first he's saying, be subject to the human institutions, verse 13. Verse 18, he says, be submissive slaves to masters. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And then in verse 5, for in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted God, who adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Look at chapter 3 and verse 22. Again, it's speaking about all things with reference to Christ, who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made submissive and subject to him. And then in chapter 5 and verse 5, he talks to the younger people. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So here you have this submission theme. There's two themes that continue on through 1 Peter. And you need to see it. One is submission and the other is suffering. He's going to talk about both of those truths. Because he says, now you are a Christian. You are this holy nation. You are under the full blessing of everything. So now in this life, you are to structure yourself under the authority of God. And there are other authorities that God has placed in this world, and you are to be under them as well. So that's what is being stated here in this passage. So the first thing he speaks of is the government. Well, in Roman times, the government was not a good government. This was an authoritative emperor, and he often operated at the whims of his feelings. Not exactly the kind of government that you would say, this is an easy submit, easy to organize myself under the authority of. But he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every institution, whether as to a king and as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And one of the questions I ask when I come to this is, why should we, as those who are, as the scriptures say, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a special people, why should we submit to human rulers? Why shouldn't we say, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, I submit to no man. I certainly don't submit to bad people. But why does God teach us? And it's as if God says, well, I want you to learn submission. I want you to learn submission under sometimes poor leaders, sometimes awful leaders, but I want you to learn submission to know your relationship and to know this truth with reference to your God. And this kind of submission has to be founded upon an absolute trust in God, that where you are in your life is where God wants you to be. That's why this submission really drives you to the ultimate authority, who is God. And you say, God, you have told me to live under submission. That may be something that may be easier today than it would be if you were living, say, in Hitler's Germany. That presents some challenges. And clearly, when this submission is presented in the sense of, this is what I want your function to be. And sometimes this is interpreted by some people to say, this is sort of mindless submission. You just are to do everything that the government or everything that a authority says that you are to do, whatever it is that you are to do. And there are others who look at it, and I'm one of the others who look at it in this way, but look at it in the sense of, our absolute authority is God. And when the Bible says to be in submission to the governing authorities, so we submit to the governing authorities. But if the governing authorities would say to me, reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would say, I cannot. I would go before the governing authorities. I'd have to go before the governing authorities and say, I do not want to be disobedient, and I don't want to defy your authority. But you've asked me to do something that there's a higher authority. I cannot do that. And there are a lot of ways of going about that, but I'm just saying it's this higher authority is never to be broached. This God's authority is never to be set aside. And all of the underlings under that have authority. But that's what makes it challenging when you look at this statement, submit to the governing authorities. All authority is designed by God. Every authority is appointed by God. And because we need to learn submission to authority, we are to submit to God. So the ordinary, clear response is we are to submit to the governing authorities. So if our government tells me I have to pay taxes, I pay taxes. I want you to know, you may not know this about me, but paying taxes is not on the top 10 list of the things I like to do. In fact, it might be at the bottom of the list of things that I don't like to do, or like to do, or don't like, whatever. I don't like to do it. I would rather not have to do that. And there are times when I would like to drive as fast as I think I need to drive. But the Bible says submit to the governing authorities. So we're to submit to the governing authorities. And it's God's means for order and design. I always like to think of this quote that was made by John Adams in 1798. And he was speaking to the Massachusetts militia. And among other things, he said this: "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion." So he says, you have to be bridled by morality and religion. And here's the leader in our country saying, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, even gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And what he's saying is, the reason why our Constitution works is because we have a Constitution that is over, and when he says a religious people, he's saying a Christian people, because that's what he was speaking of. A Christian people who submit to the governing authorities because God said for them to submit to the governing authorities. And furthermore, we submit to the governing authorities because it's a part of our submission to God. And therefore, that creates order. And he says, when you have a group of people, even with the wonderful Constitution that we have, this Constitution is not sufficient for an ungodly nation. And we're going to find that out. But it is not sufficient. It will not hold it together. Because when people say, well, I don't need to be under authority, I don't regard the authority, I'm not going to submit to the authority has no business being an authority over me. When you have that, that's called anarchy. And when you get that, the nation is lost. The Constitution does not hold people together. What holds people together is our Christian faith in God. Our submission to God, and therefore he says submit to the governing authorities because that's what makes life to be orderly, when you submit to the governing authorities. John Adams recognized that truth. So he says this is the Constitution. We have designed this Constitution. This Constitution is a piece of paper. For a godless people, it will not hold them. What holds us is the God who tells us to be orderly under this design. We go under and we order ourselves under this authority. So there's great wisdom. And here, Peter is writing to a group of people that are being driven out by the Jewish authorities. They're going out under the Roman authorities, and what they're going to find is the persecution that they experienced under the Jews is the persecution that they're going to undergo under the Romans. And Peter says, submit. Wow, submit to the kings. Because they are going to send forth governors who are going to punish the evildoers, and they will praise those who are doing the right. And you say, well, I hope so. But they also remember that the Roman authorities crucified Jesus Christ. So that's why you're going to talk about not only submission, but you're going to talk about suffering. And then he says this, and with this I'll close. For such is the will of God, And what he's saying, he's speaking of this submission. For submission is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. That is a truism. A truism is something that is a guiding principle for life. Mostly true. Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's a good practice. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But there are people who go early to bed, early to rise, you know, to rise, and they wake up the next day and they walk out and they get run over by a car. I would say it wasn't really true for that person. They were living trying to go to bed early and get up, but it didn't work for them. Well, it's not a promise that if you do this, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's saying this is a general principle for your life that is a truism. The Proverbs are filled with truisms. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. That's Proverbs 21:21. That's a truism. You pursue righteousness and loyalty, what you're going to find is life, righteousness, and honor. That's true. But Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and they crucified him. It's mostly true. But here's this principle. It says, the submission is the will of God. It's God's design for you. It's God's design that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. So what Peter is saying is, you go out in Christians into this world, you're going to go out into a world that rejects you. But by your good behavior, you submit to the governing authorities. So that when people say, well, you're not a good person, you say, I'm submitting to the governing authorities. And they look at your life and they say, that's an exemplary life of someone who is not a problem, but of someone who is submitting to the authorities that be. This doesn't answer all the questions. It's a truism. It's true. It's mostly true. You submit to the governing authorities and you follow the laws and you agree you will be commended. And in Roman times, they really commended people who were doing this. And in our day, it may be people just observing you or seeing you, but the government would have commended people for being excellent citizens. But what God is saying is that God is a God of order and design, and your submission ultimately is to him, and you're structuring your life completely under him. And when that means you go into the world, you structure yourself also under the governing authorities. If these disagree with God, then you respectfully, honorably disagree and point out that there's a higher authority, that they have overstepped their bounds. That part becomes difficult, but that's also a part of submission and ordering your life under the ultimate design of God. So submission to God is involved in our lives as Christians. And God commands us to submit to human authority. And it will go well with you if you do. Good behavior silences the ignorance of foolish men. This doesn't guarantee freedom from suffering. Suffering is, if you suffer, you are to suffer because you've done the right thing. Jesus Christ suffered as the sinless Son of God, doing the right thing. If you suffer, suffer as he suffers. And these commands to submit really depend upon our faith in God and the God of our faith. It's another reason why we commit ourselves to God and we say, God, you've told me to submit to these governing authorities. You've told me to submit in various relationships under those governing authorities. God, help me. God, protect me. God, be with me. And the difficulties of life and the challenges of life and the responsibilities of life should always draw us to God. You might even be drawn to God saying, I don't know why this is so important, but because you say it's important to me. And because you say it's important, I know that you will keep me. And I know that you will provide for me. And I know that you will give me wisdom. And I know that you will give me the direction. And I know that I'm in your hands. So because of that, I can submit to earthly authorities, knowing that ultimately I'm submitting to you and ultimately you're taking care of me. Peter's a great, this is a great book because it's like a blueprint really for being Christians sent out into a hostile world. And we're not called to fight the world. We're told to submit to the world. We're told to not be conformed to the world. So it's a delicate balance. But always our submission is to God. You are under His authority, and you are to fashion yourself according to Him. That's what submission means. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ brought us back under your authority. We pray that you would give us wisdom in structuring our lives under you, obeying you, hearing you, believing you, honoring you, following you, ordering our lives according to your word, according to your truth. And we pray that you will protect us. We pray that you would be with us. We pray that you would watch over us. But we need your care. And we pray that you would help us to be good citizens. Help us to submit to the governing authorities in such a way that our behavior will silence people who bring charges against us. May it be a part of our witness that when we live in this world, we live according to your truth in an ungodly world. We pray that you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.